Commissioner Bochco. Commissioner Brennan.
Here.
Commissioner Kinsey.
Present.
Commissioner McClure.
Here.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Here.
Commissioner Norvell.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Zimmer.
Here.
Chair Schellenberger.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much.
Morning, Madam Chair. There are three changes to the agenda. First, on page 10, agenda item number 8A, which is the consistency determination for the U.S. Coast Guard, that's been postponed. Then on page 12, item 23A, which is the University of California, Santa Cruz notice of impending development number 4, that's also been postponed. And then last, on page 13, item 25A, which is application number 3-10-34, which is the Department of Transportation project, that's been moved to consent. And that concludes the changes. I will take the opportunity to note that if anyone would like to address the commission who's in the audience, you'll need to fill out a speaker slip that you can find on the table at the entrance to the room. Please fill that out and give it to a staff member. And the table also contains addenda and copies of staff reports for reference that you can look at. And finally, if everyone would please turn their cell phones to a quiet setting or turn them off, we'd appreciate that because it avoids disrupting the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll go to public comment. This is the time for the public comment on anything
which is not currently on our agenda, on this agenda. So I'll call Patricia Aguilar and Penny Vaughn would like to come up together, I understand.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the Commission. Welcome to the beautiful town of Chula Vista. My name is Patricia Aguilar, and I am a sitting member of the Chula Vista City Council. I came to speak to you about the proposed Chula Vista Local Coastal Program, which I understand will be on your agenda next month in another beautiful town, Santa Cruz. I have only 2 points I would like to make, but first I need to explain my role here. The Chula Vista LCP that you will hear about next month was approved by the City of Chula Vista and the San Diego Port Commission in May 2010, 2 years ago. I was elected to the City Council in November 2010, so I was a candidate for office when the City Council approved the LCP. As a candidate, I supported development of Chula Vista's bayfront, but I opposed the particular development plan that was approved by the City Council and the Port District. But I want to make it crystal clear that I am not speaking as a member of the Chula Vista City Council. I am only speaking as a private citizen. The Council approved the LCP before I was elected. Point number one, I came to urge you to reject the version of the plan approved by the City Council and Port District. This is the plan that they want you to approve, but there is a better version of the plan that was discussed in detail in the environmental impact report that you see here. Both plans propose identical amounts of development, just arranged differently. The major difference is right here. The better plan gives this area, the most important site, to a grand public park with direct access to the water. There's even some sand here to have a little beach here. It puts a 2,000-room hotel and convention center in this location. The plan that the city and port want you to approve gives that key site to the 2,000-room hotel and the convention center and strings the public park space kind of like sausage links in this way. Not only that, this portion of this grand public park that is here is blocked from access to the water because this is part of a national wildlife refuge. So only this part has direct access to the water. Point two is the hearing location in Santa Cruz. I understand that despite the hard work of your staff, they were not able to prepare the staff report in time for this meeting, and they are facing some mandated deadlines. But you can understand how unfair it is to the residents of Chula Vista to hold the hearing on this plan in Santa Cruz. So even though your staff has to put it on the agenda in Santa Cruz, that doesn't mean that you have to act on it in Santa Cruz. One of the key elements of the Coastal Act is public participation. Chula Vista residents will be effectively denied that right by having to travel over 400 miles to Santa Cruz to discuss the plan for their bayfront. Thank you for your contributions to the great state of California by your service on the Coastal Commission, and God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. William Hall and Peter. Sorry.
That was only my time.
Oh,
this is
okay.
The other person.
That's what
sorry.
I thought. But
I'm
go ahead.
Penny.
Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, and welcome to our beautiful city of Chula Vista. My name is Penny Vaughn, and I'm president of the Chula Vista Mobile Home Residents Association. I represent the mobile home residents of Chula Vista. I understand the financial needs for the Bayfront project, but please consider the needs and the wishes of Chula Vistans who would benefit from this signature park. I have marked in red the parks that are immediately close to this development. We have 31 parks in Chula Vista. The ones immediately to the east are Basin, Rose Arbor, Terry's, Cabral, Basin, Bison, come on, it's early, Sharon's, and Brentwood. And that consists of 1,700 homes, just those that you see there. Then down to the south, there's another 17 mobile home park communities. And that's just the houses. That's not the population. It's a mixture of seniors and family units. I know all these plans are in the future. By increasing park space, I don't believe that increasing the park space would drastically impact the decision of a hotel developer. The signature park would not impede the views of their hotel. I believe it would enhance the view of the bayfront. And I wish to thank Ms. Sanchez for her support in Oceanside of mobile home residents. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Now we'll go to William Hall, and then Peter Watry, and then Sharon Floyd.
Good morning, Madam Chair, distinguished members of the California Coastal Commission. I'm Bill Hall, Port Commissioner Emeritus, former chairman of the San Diego Unified Port District, Board of Port Commissioners, also a former chamber president, and a veteran of over 20 years of public service on about 26 boards and commissions in the region, all volunteer. More importantly, I'm also a longtime resident of Chula Vista, and also the father and grandfather of two more generations of Chula Vista residents, all of whom now share a common dream that includes an economically vibrant, environmentally sound, and responsible vision for our bayfront, with robust, reinvigorated habitats and substantial public access. For many years, since the founding of the Bayfront Citizens Advisory Committee, I've been a proud participant, standing beside stakeholders with disparate interests and skill sets, such as my very dear friends Laura Hunter, Jim Pugh of the Audubon Society, actively supported by hundreds of regional citizens, key advocates, champions such as Mayor Cox in the audience this morning, former coastal commissioners Patricia McCoy, Steve Padilla, and Scott Peters, environmental activists, and business operators such as Allison Rolfe and Ashes Ranney that you met earlier this week. And then also Port Commissioner Ann Moore, who during the CAC service was also city attorney for Chula Vista. We forged deep bonds during an intense multi-year process as my cherished friends and distinguished colleagues crafted the Chula Vista Bayfront Master Plan in the most collaborative, inclusive public planning process that I've ever witnessed. At the conclusion of the initial planning process, in a dramatic show of community support, without opposition, more than 50 members of the public testified in favor of the plan before a joint session of the Chula Vista City Council and the Board of Port Commissioners. The plan created public recreation areas, reactivated wetlands, and environmental buffers protecting natural habitats. The plan reaffirmed the intent to demolish the South Bay Power Plant. During this week's sessions, you have graciously received comments from many of the key original stakeholders, including representatives of the core CAC that crafted the individual plan. In the last decade, I have not seen a more collaborative, thoroughly vetted, open and transparent process for land use planning. The CAC, the port, the city leaders, and our citizen volunteers did their job, and it is totally appropriate that your distinguished commission now take the next step to enable this complete community vision. I thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Peter Watry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Peter Watry. I'm belonging to Crossroads 2. I spoke to you yesterday, and what I'm turning in today is the petitions we have, and you see a copy of the top part of the on the screen. Now, the main object of the petition was we'd like to have a signature park. I won't go through all that again, but that's what the main thing was. There's a second item about the boatyard that doesn't concern you. It concerns the port, and I think we're being successful on both ends. But anyway, we've got 630 signatures who particularly are trying to get a park back for the people. And I went through all that yesterday. I won't go through it again. Now, I've been told they should be turned in at your regular meeting when it's on the agenda, which is 500 miles from here. So I'm doing it today because I can't go there. And I'm really bitter about that. I, like many people in this room, have been involved since the first day in 2002 for 10 years. And now the final climax comes and most of us can't go. And why that was done, I suspect why it was done to keep people like me out of here, out of the thing, but I'm sorry you said yes, you'd do that. I wish what you'd do is say, okay, in August, we'll hold the meeting here in Chula Vista. In October, we'll hold it in Santa Cruz. I don't know what's on the Santa Cruz agenda, but there's nothing on there that's as important as this is and has been going on for 10 years. So I wish you'd flip-flop the 2 months, and I suggest you hold the August meeting here. Anyway, thank you for your service. You've been here twice this year, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharon Floyd, then Jackie Lancaster, and then Catherine Rhodes.
Good morning. I'm Sharon Floyd. My family left La Jolla in 1942, and we moved to the Sweetwater Valley. In my young years, I walked the hills on both sides of the valley, rode my horse, and can vividly remember the Indian paintbrush, the shooting stars, the lupin, the chocolate bells, the burrowing owls, the kangaroo rats, all those are gone now. And we have an opportunity to save the little remnant of what our coast was like. I think any kind of situation down there that detracts from the tranquility of the preserves and is in any way diminishes the habitat for the migratory birds that fly through here. I understand there's almost 400 species that fly through here yearly. We need to be very cognizant of what we do down there. And I know there are people who would like to have fireworks and loud rallies and that sort of thing, but I don't think that's the place for it. Yesterday you were told that there was no representation from the community during the negotiations, and I'm here to state that Well, I'll leave it up to you to decide. I am a member of the community. I have served on both the Crossroads Board, the Northwest Civic Association Board. I've been a member of the Southwest Civic Association Board. I've been very involved since my retirement from teaching school here for 35 years in community activities. And I leave it to you to decide whether my involvement in the negotiation process at the Port Commission with Environmental Health Coalition allows me to be considered a viable member of that negotiating body. Yesterday you were told that there was no community representation, and when I confronted Mr. Watry yesterday morning after the meeting, he said, well, because I was a member of EHC, I didn't count. So I wanted you all to make your own decision on whether my involvement was representative of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Jackie Lancaster?
Good morning. My name is Jackie Lancaster. I live in Chula Vista. West Chula Vista covers 7,600 acres and houses about 105,000 people. The bayfront is about 550 acres, and the proposed population for the bayfront is, you got it, 100,000 people. So we're stuffing 100,000 people into an area 1/13th the entire size of West Chula Vista. Yes, definitely. It will be New York on the bayfront. The consequences of that is level F traffic on I-5. Level F means 4 to 5 hour delays. If anybody on the Coastal Commission would enjoy sitting in your car 4 or 5 hours on the freeway every day just to get home from work, please raise your hand. Well, neither would we. Why are we letting them kid us that the bayfront skyscrapers will bring revenue to the city? We all know it'll take at least 20 years to pay off the building bonds, and after that, the revenue goes to the Port District, not to Chula Vista. Then, of course, there's the height of the condo high-rises and hotel skyscrapers, some as high as 300 feet. So totally out of character with Chula Vista. Never again will we enjoy so much as a breeze from the bay, much less a view of sunset or an opportunity to enjoy nature. Horrendous New York eyesores. That's it. Thanks to word that came down from Her Highness Mayor Cox, lots of folks were here yesterday wearing blue shirts. I feel sorry for them, but if that's what they had to do to keep their jobs, so be it. There's been a lot of talk about a signature park, and that would give Chula Vista residents access to only about 4% of the bayfront. The rest is off limits. Wow. Access to a great big 4% of our beautiful waterfront. I'm having a really hard time containing my enthusiasm. I tried very hard to find a happy way to end this speech. All I can think of is I'm glad I won't be around when the monstrous New York City is built on our bayfront. To those who will still be around, the time to speak up is now. You don't want your grandchildren wondering whatever happened to playing in the water down by our bay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Catherine Rhodes.
Hello, Catherine Rhodes from Point Loma, and I have a handout that I gave to you. And just so you know, this first page is just my public comments to the draft environmental impact report for the convention center that's coming up. And, I've come to you for 6 years now trying to get you guys to basically confirm or deny active faulting. Here's a Caltrans map, again, that shows the active faulting going through the original convention center. And then it actually goes, there's another one that goes through the 10th Avenue Marine Terminal, and of course the one that goes up over through Rococo Park, old police headquarters, to the Navy Broadway complex, into the North Embarcadero. But we, of course, we can't confirm or deny it, because what you've got, everybody has allowed is for, and also for this convention center, they only do fault investigations in areas where they know that there's no faulting. Where areas where there is faulting, they don't do the fault investigation. So they said, in areas where we looked at, there was no faulting, which I agree with. But if somebody could actually refer this to somebody, maybe, you know, to the State Lands Commission, so I could actually get them to, or somebody to do it. I've just been here, you know, so many different times. And if I could go to the next slide, please. Right here is just a bigger Caltrans map. So the Caltrans map versus USGS versus the City Seismic Safety Study versus the Alquist Priolo map. None of them match up. You know, there's this. There was this big, huge water main break in on the airport, but the airport's not within the Alquist Priolo zone, so they don't ever have to do fault investigations before they do anything. There's also that big one that goes through Point Loma right by my house, right underneath the big oil tanks that are there on the in Point Loma. But you know, everybody, they just built on top of it again, but nobody does anything. Next slide, please. And then this is the Alquist Priolo. Next slide, please. And next slide. And so for the, I came here because I heard you guys talk about the children's pool dredging. And basically what it is, and if I'll just go to the next one. And back in 1992, Dr. Inman from Scripps said that if you dredge the children's pool, because it's a sand trap, what you're going to do is cause upstream erosion, cliff retreat, and that's the reason why the EIR was not certified by the City Council, specifically because of this. And then after asking for quite a while, I finally got the Army Corps of Engineers to write a letter as part of the environmental impact report to say that San Diego knew that you're supposed to do a SEPA and NEQA study together because they had to get the Army Corps of Engineer permits. But what they did is they hired their own consultant who again said that don't worry about upstream cliff erosion because, you know, it's not needed. They said they don't need to do, computer analysis, nothing. And just so you see the last page here.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just wanted to point out that. Thank you so much.
Cindy Gomper-Graves and then David Croft.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for coming to Chula Vista. I am Cindy Gomper-Graves, representing the South County Economic Development Council. And together with over 50 other organizations from all over South County with varied interests, business interest, environmental interest, other interests, neighborhood interest, community interest, we all support the Chula Vista Bayfront Master Plan. And these issues that you've heard about today are actually in the process of being worked out. And I'm kind of astonished that folks have come before you to represent what is actually already being discussed with the port and the city of Chula Vista as recently as last night. We are going to come to you in August. We are going to continue to support this plan because it is in the best interest of the Coastal Commission, the City of Chula Vista, and the Port of San Diego, and our citizens. It is a plan that increases environmental preservation, creates more economic opportunities for South County, and lets the community have increased access to what is now a grossly underutilized bayfront, and quite frankly is an eyesore that does not work as an attraction mechanism for our citizens or to encourage investment in our cities. We can make this better. The Chula Vista Bayfront Plan does that, and we are looking forward to presenting the plan to you officially in August. Thank you again for coming to the beautiful city of Chula Vista. Thank you for your attention. We appreciate it.
Thank you. David Croft.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the California Coastal Commission. My name is David Krogh. I'd like to thank you for your service to the citizens of California and also to Chula Vista and coming and having your meeting here in our city for the business that pertains to us. I hadn't planned to make a public comment today. Work precluded me from coming the prior 2 days. I'm not sure, but I've kind of imagined that you planned a meeting this summer here in Chula Vista because the Bayfront plan would for Chula Vista would be coming before you. And as I came this morning just to see what was going on and listen to the comments, as I heard Ms. Aguilar's comments, Councilman Aguilar, I decided I would make a public comment. I'm not familiar with your proceedings, exact procedures, but I think that if there were still a possibility of you having the actual Chula Vista Bayfront plan meeting here, that would probably fulfill your original request, give additional time for comments. I know I've served on the Growth Management Oversight Commission of the City of Chula Vista for 9 years, just completed my term in June 30th, and I'm not a member of any civic organization in the city because I want to preserve my independence of mental thought and attitude to look at all the relevant facts and do the due diligence. The agenda package contains a lot of information. I was a public contributor to the first draft Bayfront EIR, the first one, which had a lot of deficiencies, and I submitted eight pages of comments, and I was very gratified to see that in the revised draft EIR that there was a lot of changes. There was public organizations that should have participated that didn't the first time, that did the second time. The plan was a lot better, and so I would like to look at the agenda package for the Chula Vista meeting. I'm the kind of person, I don't like to say anything's impossible, so I'm not going to say it's impossible for me to come up to Santa Cruz, but kind of unlikely. It's quite a ways away. I've never been up there before. Maybe I should come and see the city. But personally, I'd like to read the agenda package, and if you guys were here and I saw something worth comment, I'd like the opportunity to do that in the convenience close to home. And therefore, I'd like to just lend my way to supporting Councilmember Aguilar's implied request that you do consider if there's a possible way you could do that next month or whenever would meet the deadlines that are necessary to be met. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that ends our public comment. So we'll go.
Madam Chair, over here on the left.
Yes, sorry. Commissioner Zimmer.
Yes, I had a comment, I mean a response and a question. Excuse me. I just wanted to say I'm sure that all of us are as disappointed as some of the members of the public that we're not going to be able to hear that Bayfront plan here in Chula Vista. But I just wanted to remind people that you do have the opportunity to write us, care of the Coastal Commission office, and staff will forward all the correspondence, and we do read it. So I hope that that's some consolation. And then I had a question about the other comment regarding the Port Master Plan amendment and the geologic issues. Is that a permit that's going to be coming to us, Dr. Lester?
No, we're not aware of anything pending related to that.
Thank you.
Currently.
Okay. So we'll move on to the agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's no Deputy Director's report for the Energy, Ocean Resources, and Federal Consistency Unit today. And as I noted, item 8A, the Federal Consistency determination for Coast Guard was postponed. So that brings us down to the North Coast portion of the agenda. There were a couple of handouts that I distributed yesterday, including a staff addendum for item 11A, the Eureka LCP amendment, and then a green addendum containing a couple of correspondence items related to the item 12A appeal, Del Norte County. If any commissioners don't have that, I've got extra copies and can give them to you, and there's other copies out on the table for those in the audience. With regard to the Deputy Director's report, there is no listing this time of waivers, emergency permits, and other administrative items, so we don't need your concurrence on the Deputy Director's report. So that brings us to the consent calendar. No items have been moved to consent. So that brings us down to item 11A, which is the City of Eureka LCP amendment. The city is requesting an amendment to the city's certified LCP to change the land use and zoning designations of an approximately 2.4-acre portion of two parcels located along Cedar Street, west of Highway 101, in an urbanized portion of the city of Eureka, changing the designations from industrial to commercial. The specific change is from light industrial to general service commercial. We're recommending that you certify the amendment as submitted. We believe the land use plan portion of the amendment would be consistent with the Chapter 3 policies of the Coastal Act. The current designation does not involve priority uses, and the change to a non-priority use is consistent, we think, with the priority use policies in that the site is half a mile from the bay shoreline and is not particularly suited for coastal-dependent industrial or other priority uses. The site is in an area where there's plenty of room to avoid the small wetland that's on the site. There are plenty of services to serve the anticipated future uses that would be allowed by the amendment. And with the change to commercial, there is still an adequate supply of industrial land for light manufacturing in the city. We also believe the changes in the zoning designation would carry out and conform with the land use plan as amended. There is a staff addendum, as I noted. We're just simply making a change to the findings on page 11 of the written staff recommendation. The change is meant to clarify that although the LCP amendment is project-driven, commission certification of the amendment would not constitute a determination of the approvability of the specific project contemplated by the owner or any other specific proposal. Any future development would have to come to the city and be reviewed for its consistency with the requirements of the LCP. So the motion to certify the amendment is as submitted is found on page 4 of the staff report, and that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. I have no speaker. First of all, are there any ex partes on this? Seeing none, I have no speaker slips. The will of the commission? Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission certify land use plan amendment number EUR-MAJ-1-05 as submitted by the City of Eureka and recommend a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Brennan. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Brennan, any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, the commission unanimously approves it. Sorry. Commissioner Sanchez.
I apologize, don't have it.
Commissioner Stone.
I move that the Commission reject implementation program amendment number EUR-MAJ-1-05 for the City of Eureka as submitted, and I'm asking for a no vote.
Moved by Commissioner Stone, seconded by Commissioner Sanchez. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thank you.
The second, no. Any unwillingness for unanimous no vote on this? Seeing none, we unanimously reject.
No, the
I don't have it in front of me.
The rejection certifies, the commission certifies the implementation program amendment number that, or this.
Thank you.
Program.
Yeah.
The double no.
Double no, exactly.
The double negative, indeed.
Failed third grade.
Okay, that brings us to item 12A, excuse me, which is an appeal by Friends of Del Norte of a decision of Del Norte County to grant a permit with conditions to the county for the construction of an approximately 1 mile long, 8 foot wide paved public recreation and nature trail within the Hobbs Wall Railroad right of way, which extends from 2nd Street through a portion of the Elk Creek Wildlife Area to Elk Valley Road and Howland Hill Road. The certified LUP contains a policy encouraging the establishment of the trail, and the city's been working towards its development, and an estimated $100,000 in federal grant funds have been applied to the trail to date. I did note there is the green addendum that contains two letters from the appellant, which are, of course, in support of the appeal, one of the letters being a commentary from their biologist. The staff is recommending that the commission, after the public hearing, determine that no substantial issue exists with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. The appeal raised a number of concerns that can be boiled down to basically three principal ones. First, the appellant claims that the trail has not been designed to a sufficient level of detail to ensure that the impacts to ESHA and wetlands will be maintained. The plans for the approved trail only include a generalized depiction of the trail route. However, we should point out that the application and the local record contain other information useful for assessing and minimizing the impacts. There have been a variety of surveys conducted for the project, two wetland delineations, a natural environmental study, a separate ecological conditions report, and a conceptual wetland mitigation and monitoring plan. In addition, the project includes various design and mitigation criteria that would have to be followed, including requirements that final pre-construction surveys be conducted for rare plants, nesting birds, and bats to avoid sensitive resources, requirements that the trail be constructed utilizing the alignment of existing trails as much as possible, and that the bridge crossing over Elk Creek include no fill within the channel itself. With the various studies and these project design criteria that would need to be implemented, staff believes that the county's determination that the project will minimize impacts to ESHA and be consistent with LCP policies is based on factual and legal support. The second major claim is with regard to the adequacy of the mitigation. The appellant notes the mitigation ratio is 3-1 rather than 4-1 as the commission usually would require. However, the commission hasn't universally applied the 4-1 ratio, in some cases allowing a smaller ratio depending on the nature of the affected habitat, the mitigation location, the degree of temporal loss, and the likelihood of success. And in this case, given the relatively high 3-1 mitigation ratio that's proposed, and the presence of the site, of mitigation site adjacent to the extensive wetland system along Elk Creek, where the conditions are appropriate and supportive of successful mitigation and restoration, and with the requirements that remediation be followed if the success criteria are not met, we feel that the contention does not raise a substantial issue. So in conclusion, staff believes that there is adequate factual and legal evidence in the record to support the county's approval of the project, and we conclude that the project is, there's no substantial issue of its consistency with the relevant LCP policies. Therefore, we're recommending that you find no substantial issue. The motion to adopt the staff recommendation is found on page 4, and we're recommending a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any ex partes on this? Commissioner McClure.
I have been, I was contacted by Eileen Cooper on Sunday by telephone and July 8th, and she was requesting that we not look at this as substantial issue, and just gave me about a 3-minute briefing of her concerns. And then I also received a phone message from her making sure that the commission did indeed receive her paper that she submitted. That's it.
Any other ex partes? Seeing none, I have no speaker slips. Is there anybody here to address this issue? I have no speaker slips. What's the will of the commission? Commissioner McClure.
I would like to move that the commission determine and resolve that appeal number A1DNC12016 does not present a substantial issue with respect to on the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act regarding consistency with certified local coastal plan and the public access and recreation policies of the Coastal Act, and ask for a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner McClure, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Would you like to speak to your motion?
I would briefly, just to let everyone know that this is a really incredible place to have access to. And for instance, when the lupin are blooming, it's just meadows of lupin and the wetland, and it'll be such a wonderful enhancement to our community to be able to have this, because this trail will also hook up with the Redwood National Park and be able to take you all the way over the old Holland Hill Road. So people will be able to access miles and miles of incredible sites and an area.
Commissioner Kinsey, would you like to speak to your second?
I'm pleased for Del Norte County, and I believe that these kinds of coastal trails that are multi-use, that get access for folks to the coastal resources, are exactly what we should be looking for, and especially if they're a part of a locally approved LCP. So it's a very positive thing.
Thank you. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, the commission hereby finds the appeal raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. And that's it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That brings us to the last North Coast item, which is item number 12B, which is the appeal by William Huff and Laura Vogel-Gesang of the decision of Mendocino County to grant a permit with conditions to Wendell Roscoe for the demolition and rebuilding of a 160-square-foot pump house with 171-square-foot storage addition at his property off of North Highway 1 and Little River in Mendocino County. As with the other one, we're recommending that the commission, after public hearing, determine that no substantial issue exists with respect to the grounds on which this appeal has been filed. There are essentially two main contentions. First, the appellant claims that the county approval is inconsistent with the setback requirements of the rural residential zone. Staff does not believe this contention raises a substantial issue in that the code does allow for variances to the setback requirement, and the county has adopted the supplemental criteria and findings necessary to grant such a variance. Second, the appellant claims that the encroachment within the minimum yard setback would materially lead to the detriment of the property in the vicinity, inconsistent with those variance criteria. But we believe the contention fails to demonstrate how there really would be a material it would be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property, as the project will be 160 feet from the nearest neighboring house, and the county required revisions during the review process to ensure that access to the new structure would not have to be gained through the neighbor's property. So therefore, we think there's factual and legal evidence in the record to support the county's findings that the project's consistent with the LCP policies, and the appeal raises only local issues rather than issues of regional or statewide significance. And we recommend that the commission find that the appeal raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which it was filed. And the motion, again, is found on page 4 of the staff report, and we, again, are recommending a yes vote.
Thank you. Are there any ex partes on this? Seeing none, I have no speaker slips. What's the will of the commission? Commissioner McClure.
I would like to move that the commission determine and resolve that appeal number A1MEN12018 does not present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under section 30603 of the Coastal Act regarding consistency with the certified local coastal plan and or public access and recreation policies of the Coastal Act, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McClure, seconded by Commissioner Brennan. Would you like to speak to your motion? Commissioner Brennan.
Yeah, just briefly. Mr. Merrill, thank you for the wonderful backup. I did want to say that the hyperlinks on the staff report are, I think, fabulous. Being able to just go there and not have to go through and hit the link and takes you right to the motion. I think if you could probably share that with the rest of the commission staff and how you managed to do that. I just found it very easy. And now this is a very short one and was easy to go through, but in some of the longer ones with the indexes and the recommendations and the backup material, I just think it's a fabulous way for us to be able to get right to the heart of the matter when you're going through this material. So, and I know we did, I think, for down here in San Diego too, but we're trying to get uniformity throughout these staff reports, and I think this is one of the wonderful tools that I found in helping me do the research. So thank you.
Thank you. I have to give credit to my staff member. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
That's what I figured that was okay.
To include that in all the staff reports in the future.
Yeah, and share it throughout the organization, because it makes our homework so much easier. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I agree.
All right. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote on this? Seeing none, the commission unanimously finds no substantial issue. I'm sorry. We did have a speaker slip on that, which I was not aware of. Can I, how do I do that? Undo my
do-over.
I believe the speaker slip may be submitted by Mr. Roscoe, who's
yes.
the applicant, and he indicated to me that he was simply wanting to be available to answer questions.
Okay. Is that accurate, Mr. Roscoe? You're happy with the outcome here of the vote? All right. Thank you very much.
Thumbs up.
Okay. With that, we will move on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'll bring us to the North Central Coast part of the agenda. Item 14 is the North Central Coast District Director's Report. We don't have any waivers or anything of that sort to report this time. It does have correspondence as well as a staff report addendum for the Muscle Rock Landfill Project that we'll soon talk about. So unless there's any questions, there's no need for commission concurrence. We don't have anything on the consent calendar, and there aren't any LCP items. So that'll take us down to item 17A. Item 17A is a notice of impending development, or NOID, for the Montero Water and Sanitary District. The district's proposing to replace an existing water storage tank with a new tank at the same location and with the same dimensions. project's been appropriately conditioned to meet the requirements of the certified public works plan, including with respect to limiting its use to existing customers as opposed to new customers or new service areas or connections, which is a fundamental component of this public works plan. We're recommending that the commission find the project consistent with the PWP, and the motion is found on page 4 of the staff report. That concludes my presentation.
All right, thank you. Are there any ex partes on this? Seeing none, I have no speaker slips. What's the will of the commission? Commissioner Kinsey.
Yes, I move that the commission determine that the development described in SMC NOID 1-12 as submitted is consistent with the certified Montara Water and Sanitary District Public Works Plan and recommend a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Kinsey, seconded by Commissioner Brennan. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, it's just refreshing to see an application that requires no additional staff recommendations and that has the certification of approval from Mr. Massara. So that makes it easy.
Commissioner Brennan. All right. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote on this? Seeing none, the commission unanimously determines that the development described in this NOID as submitted is consistent with a certified public works plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'll bring us to item 18A on the pink pages. Item 18A is an appeal of the City of Half Moon Bay decision approving a 13-lot subdivision adjacent to Pilarcitos Creek and immediately inland of Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay. Staff believes that the appeal raises substantial LCP issues in terms of Pilarcitos Creek habitat protection, hazard avoidance, and public service constraints, namely traffic, that warrant further commission review of the facts of this case. We're recommending that the commission find substantial issue and take jurisdiction over the coastal permit application, which would be scheduled for a future de novo hearing. So unless three commissioners would like to discuss the question of whether there's substantial issue, it will be deemed found, and the de novo hearing on the merits of the project will follow at a future date.
Are there three or more commissioners who would like to have a full hearing on this? Seeing none, the commission does find substantial issue, and this item is now opened and will be continued until the de novo hearing. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just for the record, I just would like to note that the addendum packet that we received today did include a comment letter from the City of Half Moon Bay, and I've had the opportunity to read it, as I assume other commissioners have as well, and I think the action we're taking remains appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'll bring us down to item 19A, and we do have a presentation on this item. PowerPoint. So item 19A is a project in the city of Daly City at the city's Muscle Rock Landfill and Transfer Station site up coast of Pacifica. The primary component of the project and the city's main impetus for it is a proposed repair and expansion of a 450-foot section of an existing 2,600-foot riprap revetment and a related access road atop the revetment. In addition, the city seeks after-the-fact authorization related to previous unpermitted work associated with the revetment, site roads, fencing, walls, and related infrastructure going back multiple years. I'll note at this point that there is an addendum to the staff report in the district director's report, makes some minor changes to the staff recommendation, but it doesn't alter the basic parameters. And with the addendum, the city's in full agreement with the recommendation. I'll just go through a few slides to orient you to the site. You can see where the labeled portion, that is the Muscle Rock site. I can get my pointer to, there we go. The landfill is in this area, and this is, you can't make it out on this slide, but this is a steep bluff, and we'll see that in some of these future slides. Here you see the bluff in the back, and the landfill and main area here, and then you can see fronting at the ocean is the revetment. The transfer station's off to the right. This will just give you a kind of a sense of the site. It's been capped and it has some cover, and there's a number of roads that work through it. And there's a number of drainage infrastructure. This is as you're getting closer to the coast, the gabions that are at the seaward edge of the landfill and then the access road that's atop the revetment. This gives a better look of it viewing towards the north. This is the area where the repair is going to take place in terms of the revetment. And then this is just back to the overview of the site. So the site was formerly the location of a sanitary landfill that was capped and closed in the late 1970s because garbage was finding its way into the ocean and due to erosion and site instability. In particular, the site lies within an active landslide area between two fault lines, the San Andreas and the Muscle Rock faults. It's also subject to the forces of ocean and other erosion and is generally an unstable site. The closure was affected by both regional board order and Coastal Commission coastal permit, the latter of which required park amenities as part of the closure and the related transfer station project in 1978. Since that time, the city's continued to maintain the site consistent with the regional board requirements to manage drainage and to reduce the risks of landslides and daylighting wastes. A fundamental component of those efforts, and one that predates the closure as well as the coastal permitting requirements, was the construction of the revetment fronting the site in 1969. As you can see on the slide, the revetment extends to the ocean essentially and has been the subject of regular work since it was first installed, some with permits and some without, and that's described in more detail in the staff report. The purpose of the proposed project is to both authorize the past revetment repair and site work, as well as to authorize similar such work moving forward. In addition, the application forms the basis for resolving the city's commitments to park-related development, going back to the 78 coastal permit. In short, the intent of the application is to provide a clean coastal permit slate moving forward. Staff believes the proposed armoring is appropriate in this case under the Coastal Act, although an appropriate longer-term goal is likely to remove the landfill from this unstable shoreline area and remediate the site, including for enhanced access, views, and marine resource protection. Such an option has been estimated to cost in the neighborhood of $125 million at this point, making it infeasible at the current time, in our opinion. We believe the armoring work is necessary to avoid a situation where landfill materials might find their way into the ocean. Similarly, the related road, fence, and gabion development is appropriate in this case to facilitate site stability and management operations. We believe the impacts from the project can be appropriately offset in this case through public access and view enhancements that build on those original requirements of the commission in 78. In addition, we're recommending that the permit be timed for a 10-year reevaluation, at which time the city be required to prepare an expanded alternatives analysis that would include evaluation of removal of the landfill and restoration of the site, including removal of the revetment, as an alternative to continuing to attempt to contain it in the way it has been since the 60s. In short, it seems clear that a longer-term public policy goal for the site would be removal of the landfill and site remediation, but we don't feel it's feasible at the current juncture. The coastal permit ensures the landfill is appropriately contained and that public access and views are maximized and enhanced. Again, the city's in agreement with the staff recommendation, and we recommend approval of the coastal permit for the project. The motion is found on page 3 of the staff report. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Do we have any ex partes on this item? Seeing none, I'll open the public hearing and call Joseph Maddock.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Joseph Matuk on behalf of Surfrider Foundation. The Surfrider Foundation respectfully urges the California Coastal Commission to deny approval of the City of Daly City application number 211024. This project seeks, to justify and build upon the Daly City Department of Public Works strategy of using rock revetments for erosion control at Muscle Rock. By maintaining a policy of armoring, the public will remain deprived of the stretch of beach, including lateral access and its native aesthetics. Sediment transport processes will continue to be altered, as will natural ecosystems. Garbage from the landfill will continue to be located in a hazardous area prone to beach and bluff erosion, as well as seismic activity. In short, the challenges in Muscle Rock will remain unaddressed, postponed once again. Ostensibly, the primary reason for granting this permit is to prevent a scenario in which waste from the landfill enters the ocean. However, by supporting the continual location of a landfill in this area, the threat to water quality remains, which is a substantial issue. History has shown that revetments and other hard coastal arming structures are commonly prone to failure. This permit is being sought due to the failure of the armor that is already at the site. The coastline at Muscle Rock is in a high-energy environment, and at any time, a winter storm can undo any protection the new armor may afford. The only responsible policy for Muscle Rock is a strategy of landfill relocation. Unfortunately, the Commission staff report has agreed with the Daly City's contention that the cost of a relocation strategy is prohibitively expensive. According to the report, cost was cited twice before as a reason to not relocate this landfill, both in 1977 and again in 1999. Presently, an estimate of $125 million is given for relocating the whole site, but that figure is derived from a 1999 estimate of $90 million, not a recent formal comprehensive study. While relocating the entire landfill would be costly, a strategy of gradual relocation is a more feasible approach. We believe there should be a thorough study of this alternative. In summary, by approving this permit as it is currently written, the status quo at Muscle Rock remains. A truly sustainable solution, like managed retreat, is not considered. Incredibly beautiful stretch of beach remains submerged, ecosystems and natural processes continue to be altered, and waste from this site will remain a threat to near-shore water quality. And as staff has recently and correctly pointed out, relocation is, in fact, the best option for this site. For these reasons, Surfrider respectfully urged the Commission to deny the City of Daly City's application number 211-024. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff?
I don't think we have anything further. We're available for questions.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Zimmer?
I had a couple of questions. The first one, in response to the comments from Surfrider, I'm noticing this is a 10-year permit, and there's no condition that during those 10 years, Daly City begin to look at the alternative of removal. And I would be supportive of such a condition. I don't think granting a 10-year permit with a couple of monitoring reports that don't have anything to do with planning for the future is really adequate. And then the second thing is a question and perhaps a comment, and that is with respect to the proposed change to subsection 12.8.8 of Special Condition 12 that's referenced on the last page of the addendum. The staff has agreed apparently to change the requirement that public access areas and amenities be maintained in perpetuity to only for so long as the landfill and related facilities remain. And my instinct is that they should be required to come back to leave the in perpetuity language and require Daly City to come back and ask for an amendment to that condition. If they plan to transfer the property to someone else in the future, or somehow these existing amenities for public access become no longer appropriate. So I can't make a motion now.
I think you're asking if that can be incorporated into the staff recommendation or not.
That's what I'm asking, if others agree.
I think that that's something that we could incorporate into the staff recommendation. The intent was that if the site was going to be remediated, that we would be revisiting it at that time if all of these facilities weren't there. However, I mean, that's the typical language is in perpetuity, and we can do it the opposite way around and have them come back to the extent that's necessary or they believe that's necessary to pursue an amendment. We're happy to incorporate that into the recommendation.
I just personally think it's safer to not have that requirement evaporate by operation of law and to instead put the burden on the applicant to seek other access to replace what they have now.
I don't believe the applicant's here to ask about the question of perpetuity. On the alternatives analysis and the 10-year permit, just quickly, our intent is that is the starting point of the 10-year permit, is to reevaluate what are the options for this site and to give ourselves that opportunity to look at it comprehensively. And that's what we built into the 10-year permit requirement. And so that's fully the intent, is that we begin a process with the city of Daly City to understand what are the issues and constraints associated with actually doing something different at this site.
Sorry, and what specifically are they being required to do now? If they get this permit approved today, what specifically are they required to do in the next 10 years to plan for the future?
Well, the permit's good for 10 years. So within the time period of the 10, within the 10-year time period, they would have to come back with an, and it's built into the condition on pages 9 and 10, mostly at the end of page 9 and beginning of page 10. They would have to come back with an alternatives analysis for understanding what are the ways of addressing the issues at this site, including looking at the option of relocation and remediation in terms of the landfill and the revetment as well.
Okay. I'm sorry to appear to be finicky, but as I read this, they're only required to start that at the end of this 10-year period. Am I wrong?
We didn't build in any interim benchmarks or anything of that nature.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. And my concern is that I'm having trouble distinguishing this case from the revetment situation in San Francisco and the whole notion of continually kicking the can down the road. So I really would like to see some better benchmarks for progress toward alternatives. Thank you.
Commissioner Stone.
First of all, a procedural question. Where are we in the timeline for this project? Do we need to take action on this at this meeting?
No, we could. Well, this could go as far as the August hearing under the Permit Streamlining Act.
Okay. I'd like to move that this item be continued until August, because especially since the applicant is not here, with the express purpose of within, as a permit condition, and I completely understand, well, let's make the motion to continue, see if there's a second.
I'll second. Commissioner Brennan, second. Commissioner Stone, would you like to speak to your motion?
I would, and the continuance is specifically so that staff can work with the city and come back with, I would like to see a permit condition, and I think it was a little difficult to do here, but that there is a timeline and then there are specific deliverables over the 10 years for the city to establish a process of removal. And not that it needs to be removed within the 10 years, I'm not sure that that's feasible, it might be, but that there are specific timelines in order to make that happen so that this 10 years is productive. And by the time this 10 years is up, frankly, this permit for the continued revetment may be at risk if they haven't made some substantial progress. That is the way that, in my mind, that this permit would ever be continued, is if there's a very clear timeline for removal of the landfill and cleaning up the site. So I'd like to have, as a permit condition, some specific plan and timelines over this 10 years for accomplishing that.
Commissioner Brennan, would you like to speak to your second?
Charles,
and I think, I'd like to get a comment from staff.
I'm wanting a clarification that what I'm hearing is there's a intention to have the removal of the landfill pursued.
I'd like a plan
for that.
Not
necessarily that part of this benchmark process would be to evaluate the feasibility of removal of the landfill, which is how we've set it up right now, is that they need to come back in 10 years with a full alternatives analysis, including evaluation of that alternative of removal. But we haven't concluded whether that's feasible at this point. Whereas the way you framed it, it sounded like you wanted a condition that would structure a process of how to get it removed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is my goal. And in that, it may turn out to be not economically feasible or otherwise, but I think for us to grant what I'm concerned about is what Commissioner Zimmer was talking about, that if we grant this permit under these conditions, then 10 years from now, we're going to be having the same conversation, and there will have been really nothing done. They'll just be there'll be a single page report that says it's really not feasible to move it. I want to put some fire under this and really make sure that work gets done to address removing the landfill from this site. And I would just like to give a little bit of time to talk to the city about it rather than us crafting a condition or requiring conditions up here.
Well, we can certainly spend another couple of weeks talking to the city, which is practically speaking what we have to bring it back in August.
Right.
And I understand that the city does not want to remove it.
I understand that.
So but we need that conversation will head, but we can certainly have it and come back with the
I think that's the conversation. So that
reflective direction of the commission.
Right. So at least they're aware of what this commission is talking about, has a chance to respond, and we can, if nothing else, sketch together something to address this issue. I do agree that there probably needs to be something there now so that we don't end up with more and more trash ending up in the ocean. But what I'm afraid of is that this action is just going to perpetuate the situation, and there's not enough incentive to truly address the issue in a constructive way.
Commissioner Brennan, would you like to speak for a second?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Briefly, thank you, Commissioner Zimmer and Stone, and a lot of the same thoughts, and Surfrider, appreciate that, the input. Having been chair of a regional sanitation district that actually had a landfill on a stream in Ventura County, and again, in the late 60s and early 70s, that was just done, and you covered it over. We, you know, there's cost involved, and things need to really, truly have to change. And I think, maybe if I might ask the question through the chair, I was thinking of putting fire to it is something like a 5-year permit. And it's just a normal automatic 10 years. Is that what we generally give? Because I think that puts some fire and some real instance to start looking at this. And not 10 years from now, as costs get more expensive, it'll be $90 million, it's be $120 million, it'll be $150 million, which almost seems unfeasible. But somewhere in a shorter period of time, perhaps we can tighten up some of those economics. Thoughts on regards to a shorter permit?
We can certainly look into it. And in terms of the discussions that Charles referred to that we have to have with the city,
yeah.
You know, I think that we also want to provide the proper incentives moving that direction. In this case, that just on your question, the 10-year permit is usually we do 20-year permits for armoring. This was 10 years because the site is a really dynamic site, and you know, the city doesn't think it's going to last longer than 10 years. The slides don't do it justice. It's a very unusual site, and it's in an active landslide.
Yeah.
So, but we'll look at that with the city.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and certainly recognize that there's some huge opportunity here, and the idea of the, you know, the transfer. Obviously, in an economics, well, that'd have to come in front of us. But the idea of a land transfer and taking it away, and you know, selling it to help clean it up. You know, I think the public's been cheated of. The public owns the land now. Obviously, it's a public landfill, so it should stay in the public realm. But I appreciate that. Thank you for the comments.
I have several commissioners asked to speak. Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do appreciate the comments from Surfrider. I do think that we need to come up with condition with a lot more teeth that has the city of Daly City looking at alternative site and plan and coming up with a plan for gradual removal of the landfill with periodic reviews. So that would be timelines and timeline and benchmarks. The point is well taken regarding a plan and implementation of a managed retreat. Because this is a potentially dangerous condition. There is a potential for leaking hazardous materials into the water, and there needs to be a serious plan of removal. It's probably going to take several years. cost of land right now is probably more affordable than it will be in a few years. So for me, I think it is something that that needs to be taken seriously. And I understand that a city would not want to spend up to $125 million for removal, but point was suggested that it could be done gradually over time, and so first thing you have to do is find an alternative site. But it is very critically hazardous condition. Thank you.
Commissioner Bochco.
Yes, I think we're all pretty much saying the same thing. I just wanted to put it in terms of what might be a way to approach the language of the permit, which we're really talking about managed retreat of the landfill. And I keep reading, 8A and C or B and C, and I don't read that in here. This particular language doesn't suggest that to me. I know that may be the intention, but it's not what I read it to be. So I think what we want is a clear plan for managed retreat of the landfill by the time they have to come back for another permit. Is that right? I'm looking at Mark and everyone. Is that pretty much what we're asking? So they know how to go. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner McClure.
Yes, thank you. I think that we could also partner with water quality, because I know the State Water Quality Board is breathing heavily down the back of Daly City on this project, and the fact that they've been out of compliance with this landfill since the Water Quality Board has been looking at it. And there is water seepage into that's coming out of the landfill, and they are, I think, spending over about $200,000 a year right now on monitoring, and that they're asking that there be a long-term plan. So I think that we should, as part of our conversation, when we do our condition, we do that in partnership with the Water Quality Board, since they, I think, have some pretty heavy language already at this landfill site.
All right, we have a motion for continuance. Is there the maker and the seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any unwillingness for a unanimous yes vote on continuance? Thank you. This item's continued.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll intend to bring that to the August hearing, and we'll definitely be talking with the city. As you saw on the slide, and as many commissioners indicated, it is a dangerous situation, and a portion of that revetment is going to need some fixing soon, even if it's a very short-term fix. So, let's see. That takes us to the Central Coast calendar and the Central Coast Deputy Director's report. We have 5 waivers and 2 extensions to report. I'll note we received an objection to one of the extensions. In it, the objecting party is concerned about the health of several cypress trees along Little Cayucos Creek in San Luis Obispo County, and specifically the danger they may present to her nearby home. The trees in question are in a part of the property not to be developed per the Commission's original coastal permit approval. To the extent they need to be removed to abate a hazard, it's certainly something that could be pursued by the permittee in this case, but that's an issue between the permittee and the adjacent landowner. It's not a material change that would affect the Commission's original coastal permit decision, and we continue to recommend that the coastal permit be extended. Thus, we're looking for Commission concurrence on the DD's report items.
Any unwillingness for unanimous concurrence? Seeing none, we concur.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That takes us down to item 21. As we indicated earlier, we moved item 25A, the Caltrans Revetment Gabion Wall Project in Big Sur, to the consent calendar. We work very closely with Caltrans on this project, and we believe the project's necessary to protect Highway 1 from danger, and its most appropriate alternative available for the purpose at this time. Ultimately, Caltrans may need to pursue a different longer-term solution for this section of the highway, which is continually subject to wave attack, shoreline erosion, landslide, and geologic uplift in a really dynamic environment. But in the meantime, the armoring system here can help to maintain slope stability and protect the important transportation, public safety, recreational access corridor. So we're looking for the commission's approval of this item on consent.
Thank you. Are there any ex partes? Seeing none, the will of the commission.
Move the consent agenda.
Moved by Commissioner Stone, seconded by Commissioner Sanchez. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, we approve the consent calendar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe so that item that takes us down to 23A, which was postponed, and item 25A, which you just approved. So we're all done for the Central Coast items.
And now we trailed statewide from Wednesday.
Yes, under statewide, you have approval of the minutes, item 11.
Moved by Commissioner Sanchez, seconded by Commissioner Zimmer. Any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, we approve the minutes. Let's see, Commissioner reports. I have two things. One is just to let the commission know that I received a letter from the United States Department of Commerce, National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration, saying that they had selected Peter Douglas to receive the 2012 Walter B. Jones Memorial Award for Coastal Steward of the Year. There were several of us that had written letters nominating him for that. And so I thought that was very nice. Just want to let you know that. The other is that on Wednesday, Mayor Joe Kalajian, who is the League of Cities Coastal Issues Group chair, was here, and his speaker slip got lost in the shuffle. So he asked me to let you all know that the reason he came was to let the commission know how much he appreciates staff working with the League of Cities Coastal Issues Group. That it's been very productive, that they are looking forward to our meeting together, the workshop, whatever we're calling it, in December. And so I promised that I would pass that on. He was very complimentary of the work that's being done between their group and the commission. Then are there any other commissioner reports? You're under the Bay Restoration, right? Okay, hold on. Any other straight commission reports? Commissioner Novell.
We have a new district director in our Central Coast District, which deals with Jack and Dan and your Ventura and Santa Cruz offices, Tim Gubbins. He's a veteran with Caltrans, 24 years, very creative person. I think he'll be a good person to work with, so I look forward to that relationship. This coming July, there will be no longer a Business Transportation Housing Agency, which I represent. There will be a Transportation Agency, and there will be a Business Consumer Affairs and Housing Agency. And so within this next year, the legislature and the governor will have to decide in their judgment where the Coastal Act leads them to decide whether it should be in one of those agencies or both. So we'll see how that goes.
Caltrans.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Just a note, too, is I'm actually a former district director, and there was a comment made about the intelligence of district directors of the day. And we're not smart enough to be devious. And that actually, I just hope that we're not cynical enough to be devious. Just a correction there. But that's just my personal comment on that.
Thank you. There's no conservancy report, and there's no Santa Monica Mountains conservancy report. We do, however, have a report in the Santa Monica Bay Restoration. Commissioner Bochco.
Yes. The Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission met on June 21st. And among the items of business, we dealt very in detail with the Malibu Lagoon Restoration Project. The entire public comment portion of that meeting was comprised of anti-Malibu Lagoon restoration people, many of whom were the same that had been in our meeting last month and presented public comment and very detailed complaints about the process. Suzanne Good, who's the Department of Park and Recreation representative and also an alternate on our board, gave us a detailed account of the entire project, including monitoring processes of water quality, which had been brought up many times, vegetative and animal health, and nesting status, the status of the dewatering plan, which we heard yesterday was finalized, the noise reduction procedures, the number of biologists that are present at all times on the site. And at the end of it, I actually was very relieved because it answered all of the questions that had been presented to us, and we didn't have all of the facts in front of us. But as of yesterday, of course, we got even a more full report, even more present. And they also have a website, restoremalibulagoon.com, so if anyone ever approaches you again and you can't answer a question, you can just tell them to go there because it has everything about the lagoon process daily. Another agenda item that was brought up was by Tom Ford, Director of Marine Programs for SMBRC, and they're doing the study of the kelp forest off Palos Verdes, and it's in particular a study which will result in the restoration of the urchin barren areas off the peninsula. And that was a thing that came up with us with the otters, and it was a really interesting presentation, and what he said was that he said that the lack of normal conditions in the Palos Verdes area, including the absence of natural predators like the sea otter, has resulted in these deserts in the sea, inhabited only by these sickly purple urchins that are inedible and you know are not good for the sea urchin industry. And he says that they are working hand in hand with commercial sea urchin fishermen to do this study. And so I asked him if you know, he was in communication with them and could perhaps maybe even educate them in terms of the sea otters and what we had you know, done with the consistency report. And he said he was very aware of that and that he was trying to get that kind of information to the commercial fisheries. So that's the report.
All right. Thank you. And I think that takes us to the Deputy Attorney General's report. We don't have one today. All right. Dr. Lester, you're on.
Okay. First, 16A is our legislative report. There are no recommended actions this month, just updates in the summaries. I did want to briefly mention the update on AB 2226, which is the bill pending to deal with who holds title to property. That has been held in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, so you had taken a position in opposition to that bill. Unless there are questions about the legislative report.
Madam Chair, I had a quick question about that one. As a novice in Sacramento procedures, what is the difference between a bill being held and a bill being voted down in committee? Because I was told that that it had been voted down.
Well, maybe there is no difference. It was a 3-2 vote, I believe, and we are presenting that as being held in the committee. The committee did not vote it through.
So that, I guess the follow-up question is there another procedure where this bill could become law in this session?
There is always another procedure. as long as the legislature is in session.
So we need to remain vigilant.
Absolutely.
Is the point. Thank you.
16B is an interagency agreement that I need you to authorize. This is an interagency agreement with the Department of Human Resources for personnel data processing services. We rely on them to do a number of things related to our payroll and tracking of personnel data. And this is a small contract, not to exceed $13,000 for 1 year. And there's a motion on page one.
Commissioner Stone.
I move that the commission authorize the executive director to enter into an interagency agreement with the California Department of Human Resources for an amount not to exceed $13,000 to provide personnel data processing services for a period of 1 year in accordance with the Department of GSA instructions, and ask for a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Stone, seconded by Commissioner Brennan. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Brennan, any unwillingness for unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, we approve the contract.
16C is our 2013 calendar, which we talked briefly about last month. We've brought it back with a few tweaks to it and are recommending that you adopt this for the following year. But if you'd like to discuss some of the general locations, we can do that now. We've tried to strike the usual balance between Southern and Northern California, with the slight emphasis on more Southern California meetings to reflect our workload, as well as bring the diversity of the locations as we go up and down the coast in order to maximize public access. So we are recommending that you adopt this calendar, and I'll entertain any questions.
Commission? Questions? Motion? Moved by Commissioner Sanchez.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Stone. Anybody want to address this? Any unwillingness for a unanimous yes vote on the 2013 calendar? Seeing none, the commission approves the calendar. Thank you.
And then I had a couple items not specifically on the agenda related to the meetings and our traveling. As you recall, last month we decided that we would head up to the Fort Bragg area for September. I did want to let you know, I believe you all received an email from Susan Hench about the hotel arrangements there. We do have rooms set aside at the Surf and Sand, I believe, which is the location we could find that we thought was suitable and also met our requirements for the state rates. But I wanted to underscore for you that if you are interested in pursuing other options in the area, now's the time to do it. It's a popular time of the year, so I just wanted to give you that heads up to think about other travel and stay options if you are interested in that. But we do have the rooms available that Susan described. Also, we'll be sending out more detail on travel options to get there, so that should be coming in your email. Related to travel, we do need any outstanding travel expense claims that you may have, and in particular, if you can provide us with all your receipts for airline and rental car and all of the things you might have paid for, we need that in order to close out the books for the fiscal year, which is happening now. So moving on, one other administrative item related, going back to your Commissioner Brennan comment about the staff reports. Longer range plans here is to move towards a more facile and accessible digital staff report format. In that direction, we are going to be providing a new opportunity for downloading all of the staff reports online as opposed to getting a CD. So I think you should all be getting an email from our IT staff over the next couple of weeks about that mechanism and how you might be able to do that. So this would enable you to just go online and download the meeting packet to whatever device you're using. My own personal goals, which needs more further discussion with the commission, obviously, is simply to move in the direction of a digital packet in order to get away from paper. So that you'll be getting instructions on how to do that if you want to do that. Are there questions about that?
My question was just, do you think by the next meeting we'll be able to download off the...
Our plan is to try to make it available for the August mailing, yeah. So
great.
We're very close to that. I've seen the draft instructions. It just needs to be provided to you. So I know a couple of you have already worked in individual cases on doing that with us, and I think it's going okay. So that's related to the packet. Two other items that I wanted to report on. One was you may have actually seen a news report this morning about tsunami debris ending, arriving in California. People have been asking questions about that and what it means for California. There was a story a few weeks back about a huge dock arriving on the coast of Oregon. I think it was 65 feet long or something. This is, you know, from the tsunami in Japan last year. And people have been tracking the debris. It is beginning to arrive on the West Coast. We are working closely with other agencies in the state of California to address any concerns about that, particularly the California Emergency Management Agency, to the extent there might be anything particularly problematic with that debris arriving. Our understanding is that there aren't any issues about radioactive debris or anything like that, if people are asking you questions about that, but there will be a substantial amount of debris that is going to end up along our coastline, and our PE staff and the coastal cleanup staff are working closely with others on education strategies and outreach strategies to help us deal effectively with that debris when it does start arriving. So I just wanted to give you that update in case people are asking you questions about that. I think our cleanup staff are of the opinion that it's going to be very similar to the kinds of debris we already see. And in the grand scheme of things, of course, the cumulative impacts of debris on the shoreline is much greater than what we're going to see. But it is a concern. The last thing I had was just a brief PowerPoint presentation to highlight a success that we've had recently, which also highlights some of the work you don't see every day. Sometimes Lisa Hagee will report on enforcement stories that don't come to the commission, and this is partially an enforcement story, partially a public access OTD program story. We had an opening of a new public access way required by a permit that we issued in the 1980s. This is in Huntington Harbor Bay Club in the city of Huntington Beach. Next slide, please. And this permit was for an expansion of a private marina back in the 1980s, and the CDP required an OTD for a small pocket beach and walkways and designated parking. The short story is it was recorded in 1988, but it was not until 2009 when we finally had an entity who stepped forward, who we were able to work with to accept the responsibility for improving and managing and opening and managing the accessway. So the easement was opened just a few weeks ago. Next slide. This is an overview map of where that easement is in the scheme of things. It's the red stop sign on the right-hand side. You might recognize these slides from the Linda Laughlin's access report in January, which we have an access guide that documents where all of our existing OTDs are and what are open and closed. Next slide. This is another shot showing where the location of the formerly closed OTD. Next slide. And again, close-up shots. You can see on the lower left the harbor area where the easement was required. Next slide. So as I mentioned, Orange County Coastkeeper has thankfully come forward and has taken on this responsibility, and we're very happy that they were able to figure out a way to do that. And you know, we have many partners like them up and down the coast that serve this purpose. Next slide. They have identified how to sign and locate the access for the public. Next slide. Including this sign at the parking lot related to the access. Next slide. And then I mentioned enforcement. Part of getting this particular access opened also was a partnership with our enforcement staff, who had to deal with unpermitted gate in this case that was blocking the actual easement that that Coastkeeper would accept. So until they could actually open their easement, that we needed to have an enforcement action and some work done by our staff, and we were successful in getting that gate opened. Next slide. We also had to enforce the requirements to designate the parking that were related to the accessway. So after those two enforcement efforts and the efforts of Orange County Coastkeeper and our public access staff, we were able to get it accepted and opened. Next slide. Here you see some paddlers coming into the small pocket beach that is the highlight of the access as it was opened. Next slide. And here is the paddle boards at the public beach that is now available for the public to use. Again, it's a small access in the scheme of things, but all of these add up and are important in these locations, particularly when you have a lot of surrounding private amenities. So I just wanted to highlight that story for you as a way to wrap up the day.
Great. Thank you. So I think we're done for this month. Everybody have safe travels home, and we'll see you next month in Santa Cruz.
Thank you.